Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 20. In this chapter, we have Ezekiel's message to Israel's leaders in Babylon concerning God's gracious preservation of the nation and the future restoration of the nation, in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness and rebellion throughout her history. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 20, with some background notes. The occasion of this message of Ezekiel here in Ezekiel chapter 20 is that once again, the elders or leaders of the Jewish captives in Babylon come to the prophet Ezekiel to inquire of the Lord. The Lord's answer to the elders was not what they wanted to hear. The Lord told them not to come with their curiosities and inquire of the Lord. Verse 3. They were asking the wrong questions. Ezekiel was to give them a message of judgment, verse 4, because they were not judging themselves for their past and present sins of idolatry. And that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one, God's grace to Israel in the past is evident in their preservation, verses 5 through 32. Now in these verses, we have a history lesson of how Israel was unfaithful throughout four successive periods of her history. But for the sake of his covenant with Abraham, and for the glory of his own name, God graciously preserved his people in spite of their unfaithfulness. In verses 5 through 9, we have the first period of Israel's history, in Egypt. Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, On the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, Each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Verses 5 through 9. Notice that idolatry was already practiced by Israel while they were still in Egypt. It did not start with the golden calf in the wilderness, but God in his grace brought Israel out of Egypt in the Exodus. In verses 10 through 26, we have the second period of Israel's history in the wilderness. Let's read verses 10 through 17, where we have the account of the first generation in the wilderness. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning now at verse 10. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. Verses 10 through 17. God gave his people the law to live by and the sign of the Sabbath. But Israel rebelled against the Lord in the wilderness. and profane God's Sabbaths, and yet God in His grace did not annihilate them. Now in verses 18 through 26, we see that the second generation in the wilderness also rebelled against the Lord and profaned God's Sabbaths and continued the idolatry of the former generation that died in the wilderness. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning now at verse 18. But I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they cause all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. Verses 18 through 26. Now the statutes and ordinances that were not good in verse 25 are regulations of the pagan religions to which Israel turned. In verses 27 through 29, we see a denunciation of the third period of Israel's history in the Promised Land. Verses 27 through 29. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me, when I brought them into the land concerning which I had raised my hand in an oath to give them, and they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees. There they offered their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? Verse 27 through 29. Israel used the good land that God gave them for idolatry. They used the trees and the hills as places of sacrifice to the foreign gods. In verses 30 through 32, we have the fourth period of Israel's history, Ezekiel's own day. Verses 30 through 32. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, are you defiling yourselves in the manner of your fathers and committing harlotry according to their abominations? For when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols even to this day. As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What you have in your mind shall never be. When you say, we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries serving wood and stone. Verses 30 through 32. So we've seen that through four periods of Israel's history, God graciously preserved his people in spite of their constant rebellion and unfaithfulness. God's grace to Israel in the past is evident in their preservation. Doctrine point number two, God's grace to Israel in the future will be evident in their restoration. Verses 33 through 44. As I live, says the Lord God, truly with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face. Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name no more with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised my hand in an oath to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your doings with which you were defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, says the Lord God. In these verses, another period of Israel's history is before us, namely the present time. In fact, these verses take us into the future and show us God's dealings with Israel in the tribulation period yet to take place in the future. We see the good news and the bad news for Israel in these verses. The bad news is that Israel as a nation would continue in rebellion and unfaithfulness throughout this present time. Therefore, God would have to scatter them, verse 34, and bring them under his rod of discipline, verse 37, and judge them and purge out the rebels, verse 38. But the good news is that Israel would be restored as a believing nation in the future after the tribulation. God would discipline them to sanctify them. They would turn away from their idolatry, verse 39, and serve the Lord, verse 40. They would no longer be scattered, but gathered together and brought back into the land of Israel, verses 40 through 42. And they would know that the Lord had been gracious to them, verses 43 and 44. Now, these promises are not made to the church, but to the Jewish people. The new covenant that God will make with the nation of Israel, according to Jeremiah 31, verse 31, is referred to here in verse 37. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. God's grace to Israel in the future will be evident in their restoration. Now, what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 20? Don't explain away the Bible as a parable. Verses 45 through 49. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the south, and say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree and every dried tree in you. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, Does he not speak parables? In these verses, we have the parable of the forest fire. God was judging them as if a forest fire were to sweep through the land. It was a parable, but it conveyed reality. However, the people listening to Ezekiel were not impressed or convicted and just wrote it off as a parable. You know, that's what a lot of people do with the Bible today. They read it and listen to sermons about it, but they are not convicted by it. They are not stirred up because to them the whole Bible is like a parable and not real truth. Listen, don't explain away the Bible as a parable.